began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you." Father, speak to us. God, help us to rightly divide the word of truth, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've all heard it said, when you begin to read the Bible and study the Bible, that God speaks of clean hands and a clean heart. In order to have fellowship with Jesus, the Bible says that. But here in the text, Jesus said having clean feet is also required. In verse 4, as a matter of fact, in the text, we see that Jesus took a towel, and in what followed, he taught Peter and even us to have fellowship with him. Our feet must be clean. Now, I don't think he's instituting a third ordinance of the church here that some folks have mistakenly added as far as an ordinance. We believe that the only two ordinances are baptism and the Lord's Supper. I think the idea here that Jesus was teaching was to be a servant. The task of washing a guest's feet was usually assigned to the household servant. In verse 15, Jesus says, "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." The precious Lord Jesus humbled himself by washing the disciples' feet. We are to take the place of a humble servant and serve the Lord as well as others as well. Matthew Henry said it this way about this text. I think Dr. Henry's on to something. Here's the sermon right now in a nutshell, okay? I'm going to expound upon this, but here's what it is. He says, Christ washed his disciples' feet that he might signify to them the value of spiritual washing and the cleansing of the soul from the pollutions of sin. Now, it was a lesson of a servant, but it was also a lesson that we had fellowship with him, then we must have clean feet. In verse 8, Jesus said to Peter, "If I don't wash you, you have no part with me." The word part there literally means that of an allotment or a division or a share. If I don't do this, you don't have a part of me. And you're not partnering with me. You're not sharing with me, so to speak. If you're going to partner with me, you've got to have clean feet, Peter. He was speaking of fellowship with him and what was required to experience and enjoy the fellowship that we have with Jesus. Let me ask you this morning, do you have clean feet? And you might be like one fellow I read about that his feet stuck so bad that when he put odor eaters in them, his shoes disappeared. That's funny, I don't care who you are. I mean, that's funny. Heard about one fellow that always fell asleep in church. Some of y'all do that too. I want you to know in just a minute, you'll be asleep. I watch you from here. Do you think I don't see you? I see you. You're asleep. I mean, you all sit up here one Sunday, cleaning nails, cleaning out pocketbooks, wallets, picking your nose. I mean, it's all kinds of stuff you see right here, man. Some of you ain't laughing because you think, boy, he's talking about me. But I heard about this fellow fell asleep in church all the time. It was just inevitable. He sat down and he went to sleep in church. Well, his wife went to the preacher and asked what she could do to keep him awake during the services. Well, he said, "Well, tell you what to do. You take some Limburger cheese and hold it under his nose whenever he goes to sleep." Sure enough, next service, he started to doze off. She stuck that Limburger cheese under his nose, and when he started nodding off, and he said, he yawned and said, he said out loud in the middle of the church, "Roll over, Ethel. You got your feet in my face again." Some of you haven't laughed at anything. I mean, you need to lighten up and live a little bit. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Dwayne's thinking, today's the last day I'm chairman of the deacons. Thank God. Amen. Just a few more hours. If he won't do anything between now and midnight, I can get off of this stuff. I don't have to pick up for him or anything. I mean, just a few more hours. Justin's thinking the same thing too. In just a few more hours, I would pass the baton. But anyway, Dennis hadn't laughed at all because he's thinking I still got to serve with him. Well, I think Jesus took the towel in order to teach on a serious note now. About clean feet, if you will. Notice with me, first of all, the blessing of fellowship with Jesus. When you're in fellowship with the Lord, that brings some great benefits and blessings to your life. Amen? I read about a story about an old man whose daughter asked the pastor if he would come by to see him and pray with him. He was, well, death was surely imminent, and he asked him to come by and pray. He found the old man lying in bed, propped up on two pillows, with a chair sitting beside his bed. He said, "You must have expected me to come by. You have a chair for me to sit." He said, "Actually, I didn't know you were coming." He said, "Well, I'm your daughter's pastor." He began to explain to him who he was. And he says, "But if you didn't expect me to come, what's the chair for?" He said, "Well, if you would just close the door and I'll explain to you about the chair." He said, "Close the door," the pastor did. He says, "I've never told anybody about this, and not even my daughter. For you see, all the years of my life," the man says, "I didn't know how to pray." And he says, "At church, I'd hear the preacher say, talk about prayer, and it went right over my head. I got to the place where I felt I just couldn't even pray." He said, "I had a friend about 4 years ago tell me, 'Joe, what you need to do is prayer is just simply a matter of having a conversation with Jesus. Here's what I suggest. Sit down in a chair and place an empty chair in front of you. And in faith, see Jesus in that chair and just talk to him and listen the same way you were talking to me right now." The guy said, "So I tried it and I liked it so much that I do it for several hours every day. Jesus and me just sit and we just sit and talk and we sit and talk and we sit and talk. I have a wonderful time of fellowship with one another." He says, "I'm careful, though. If my daughter saw me talking to an empty chair, she'd think I had a nervous breakdown and put me in the funny farm." When the pastor was deeply moved by the story and encouraged the old man to keep up the practice, he prayed with him and left. Well, just a few days went by, though. It was an interesting story. The daughter called the pastor and said her dad had died. He got there and he talked to her and he said, "Well, there's something strange about his death." The daughter said, "Apparently just before daddy died, he leaned over and he rested his head on that chair beside his bed. What do you think about that, pastor?" "It seems to me that the old man had learned that there's nothing much sweeter than sweet communion with the Lord of glory. How it's wonderful to have fellowship with Jesus and to walk with him and to talk with him. It's wonderful to have a blessed experience. Why is fellowship with Jesus such a blessing?" Let me give you two thoughts, I think. First of all, the personal ministry with Jesus. Now, the text before us this morning, we find that the disciples are with Jesus. Matthew's account of this same story says this in Matthew 26, 20. "When evening had come, he sat down with the 12. Those 12 are commonly called the disciples. They have experienced a special ministry with Jesus. For nearly 3.5 years, they've been a part of his ministry and they shared in the ministry with Jesus. Remember, I said earlier that he told Peter that the word part there is a word that speaks of sharing. They'd shared in the ministry of Jesus. When he'd done a miracle, they'd been a part of that. They'd shared those things. They'd seen those things. They experienced those things. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the night they were all on the boat and they saw Jesus walking on the water? Can you imagine the sharing an experience like that? The day that he raised Jairus' daughter from the dead, can you imagine seeing an experience like that? And when he healed the blind eyes and he made the lame to walk and the blind to see, can you imagine sharing an experience like that? They were part of all those journeys with him. Oh, what a marvelous time. You see, fellowship with Jesus allows us to be a part of what he's doing. It gives us a personal ministry with Jesus. I can't think of anything more exciting than to walk with the Lord and be a part of what he's doing in these days in my life. When we live in fellowship with him, then God will use you. Someone said this, an outer life of service opens the inner chamber of fellowship to those who choose to serve Christ. Now, I would change that statement just a little bit and say this. The inner chamber of fellowship opens an outer life of service. Point is this. If you walk with Jesus, then Jesus will open up places of service for you. He can take us and use us in his work. The blessings of following Jesus is he brings a personal ministry with us in our lives. They had a ministry because they walked with Jesus. Can you imagine? Well, the personal ministry with Jesus. But I see this, secondly, the special moments with Jesus. Verse 1, the Bible says this, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come and that he had, should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Get the context now. You got to get that. In 24 short hours or so, Jesus is going to be crucified. The purpose of his coming to the earth was about to be fulfilled. The reason that Jesus came to this earth was to die. He'd done a lot of cool stuff in his 3.5 years, but his whole purpose, his whole essence of being was to go to Calvary's cross to die in our place. That's why he came. In these last hours on the earth, from his humanity side, who did he choose to spend those last hours? When lots of times when folks are in death circles and they're going through tragedy like that, folks in the hospice will send folks home and they want to spend their last hours and their last days, their last months with people in whom they love. Right? Oh, ladies and gentlemen, it's a special evening to be sure. There's a time that was spent together that brought special moments. They would never forget this moment in their lives. Can you imagine, even years to come after Jesus had gone, they still talked about this among the guys? I just want to share with you about what God done. In their times in our lives when we're in fellowship with Jesus, that there's a special sense of his presence, and God's doing something unusual, and we have services like that here that where God does something unusual that we can't explain, and that's just a special sense of that. And you remember those days? A. Bonner once said this, as I walk along the street, I have sometimes such fellowship with the Lord Jesus that I feel as if he were close beside me. I lift my hat in token of reverence. Now the Bible teaches us there's never a moment when he's not with us. There are times in our lives, if we're honest, we feel like his presence is very real in a very special way in our lives. I can't explain this to you, but not all church services are the same. Sometimes we'll come, it'll be dead as a hammer on Sunday morning, on Sunday night. Boy, the Spirit of God just moves. Then sometimes on Sunday morning, just be so sweet and so good. And then on Sunday night, you feel like a popsicle in here. I mean, it's rough. I've been in a few services. It was so cold. If you let a cow down the aisle and milked her, she'd give out popsicles. Hadn't y'all? I mean, y'all been some of those? I preach in some places like that. I remember one time I was preaching for a week somewhere, and I washed it up on Friday night and said, oh, the Spirit of God's been here all week. I thought, where's he at? I'll go sit with him. I mean, it was one of those meetings. If a little kid went to the bathroom, we'd had a great move of God. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It was rough all week. But the same token, though, I've been in times like that here and other places, that really sense the presence of the Lord in a special way. Been times I've been by myself, but the presence of God's been surreal. I've been out driving in the road sometimes and just cut the radio off and just have just a sweet time of fellowship with the Lord. Do y'all understand what I'm talking about? And you have some of those times of fellowship in the car. Then there's other times in my study. And sometimes I'll talk out loud, Catherine, to come across her and say, are you talking to me? I said, no. She thinks I've gone crazy, but I gone. Been gone. Some of y'all think. But God's real. Sometimes you just want to say, you got to see this, man. This is good stuff. It's almost surreal. You can reach out and touch him. Are you following what I'm telling you? That's what the disciples are experiencing this last night Jesus is on earth. Special time for sure. And verse 4, the Bible says he rose from supper. They just eaten a meal together. They were Baptists, man. Special time of fellowship together. The blessing of fellowship with Jesus. I see secondly, they're the basis of fellowship with Jesus. Now, what's required to have fellowship with Jesus? Well, you got to have clean feet. Look what he says. Verse 4. The Bible says he rose from supper and laid aside his garments. He took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Well, now Jesus starts washing feet. Then he comes to Peter. Now, Peter is kind of the mouthpiece of the group. The text seems to imply that the other disciples didn't say anything when Jesus washed their feet. But when he came to wash Peter's feet, he said something. Maybe the other disciples were too stunned to say anything. We don't really know exactly what was going on. But whatever the case is, when he came to Peter, he says, Lord, are you washing my feet? I can see Peter like this, can't y'all? Pulling his feet back, saying, oh no. You're not washing my feet. You're never going to wash my feet. Word never, there's really a strong expression. Actually, it's the strongest expression in the Greek language that can be used. He was saying to Jesus, I'm not about to let you wash my feet. You can forget about that right now. The text, notice with me how Jesus answered Peter in the text. He said, if I do not wash your feet, you have no part with me. Wash you, you have no part with me. You can't have fellowship with me, Peter. You can't be a part of what I'm doing, Peter, if I don't wash your feet. Now that changes the disposition a little bit here in the text, doesn't it? The narrative changes radically. Peter says this in verse 9, Lord, not on my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Lord, if it means having fellowship with you, then not only wash my feet, but wash my hands and my head as well. Lord, I want to do whatever it takes to have fellowship with you. At this point, Jesus begins to teach Peter a very important lesson. You need to pay attention here within verse 10. He says this, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. What in the world is he talking about? The key to that text is those two verbs that are used. Now, I'm not a good English student, but there's two verbs in that sentence. Washed and bathed. Wash and bathe, rather, excuse me. Now, we got to pay attention to those. He says to bathe. The word bathe there is a word that means to bathe the whole person. It would literally describe that of taking a bath. On the other hand, the word wash there speaks of cleaning a part of the body, such as you would do before after you get home, maybe before dinner. You'd go to the sink and you'd wash up. You'd wash your hands. You'd wash your face. Are you following what I'm telling you? Or your feet. The difference between the two is this. It's the difference between crawling to a bathtub and taking a bath and taking a washcloth and washing your face or your feet. Does that make sense? There's a big difference in those two terms. Now, preacher, what in the world is that? What difference does all that make? I'm glad you asked. I'm going to tell you. During the day, now you're talking about ancient Palestine. Now, you're not talking about where we have all the paved roads and the neat sidewalks we have. You know, they walked down dusty roads with sandaled feet, and their feet would become dirty, and they would wash their feet several times a day after taking a bath to start the day. I wash my hands several times a day.
I remember one time, this is ugly, I shouldn't tell it, it's not in the notes, but this is free. I told a little boy when I was a youth minister who was 12 that he didn't have to wash his hands after he went to the bathroom if he didn't use the bathroom on them. I was joking. His mother didn't find any humor in my joke. All right? None. That lady still has no sense. She has no sense of humor to this day. I mean, she takes herself far too serious. You know what I'm saying? But you wash your hands hopefully several times a day, don't you? Lord, we're going to have a class about this after church. I mean, you should wash your hands several times a day. But after I leave here today, I'll shake most of your hands this morning. I will wash my hands before I eat lunch because that's just wise. You probably ought to wash yours too. You're not telling what I've been doing my hands. But anyway, that's not the notes either. I don't know why I said that. The point that Jesus is making here is you need to be clean, and there's two kinds of cleansing. First, there's the matter of taking a bath. To take a bath, as Jesus said, is to be in verse 10, is to be completely clean, right? Don't you feel good when you get out of the bathtub? You just feel better. And the word there, the idea is to be completely clean, to be clean all over. When he says to be bathed or having a bath, he was speaking of what then? Salvation. He was talking about the time that you trusted Jesus as your personal Savior. He was talking about then that you needed to have a bath. Everybody here, you either have had a bath or you need a bath. That's literally and figuratively speaking. We're talking figuratively now. Y'all right? But he's talking about your need for salvation and you're completely clean before the Lord. It's the first and the greatest need of every man, woman, boy, and girl. You don't get a bath because you're a good person. You don't get a bath because you're a member of the church. You don't get a bath because you've been baptized. You get a bath because you trusted Jesus and Him alone for your salvation. Listen, some of you Pentecostals, you'd be falling on the floor right now. That's a good word. I'm telling you, that's what Jesus is talking about. He says you need a bath. We need that for our salvation. But also he speaks not only of our salvation there, he's talking about separation. Again, he says of washing your feet. If you've taken a bath, you don't need a bath again. Peter? If you got it, you don't need it again. Now, we're a Baptist church, unashamedly. We teach that you can't lose your salvation. My question is, for some folks, do they ever get it? But, however, if you got it, you didn't lose it. Now, what he was teaching is, you don't need to be saved again. We don't need another bath. But we do commit sins as we walk through this world. See, on February 25th of 1991, I was bathed. I was completely cleansed of all of my sins. That does not mean I have not sinned since then. I fell daily. And by the way, so do you. That doesn't mean I need to be saved again, but it does mean I need to confess my sins and be cleansed of my sins again. I need to stay in fellowship with Him because at times my feet get dirty. And at times, your feet get dirty too. And at times, along this journey of life, as you walk down these dusty, dirty roads, your feet get dirty. You can't live in this sin-sick world and not get dirty sometimes. You drive an automobile, I mean, tell you what's truth. Listen, I went to the dentist this week and had a crown put on. He said, this isn't going to hurt bad. I said, you're a liar. And he said, well, maybe it's going to hurt more than I'm thinking it's going to hurt. I said, it does hurt. It hurts bad every time you stick the needle in my mouth. And I sent Elizabeth a text that she gave me the first shot, and he come back a few minutes later and he started messing with it. I said, oh, Lord God. And I grabbed him by the arm, and he said, not numb, huh? I said, no, it's not numb. He said, I must not have got it totally numb, so he gave me a second shot, and I felt that one too. He said, why not give me a third shot too, but I didn't feel that one. He just laughed. He thought that was funny. You see, he was defiled, but he lied though. Here's what's funny, though, is the thoughts I had towards him, I descend to him too. Jesus said, you ever had anybody you hated? You know, you're guilty of murder, you know? Some of y'all laughing. Drive an automobile. I mean, won't that make you want to say bad things? Sin must be dealt with in our lives, though. If you're going to clean, keep clean with God, that's the basis of our fellowship. Let me give you two thoughts, and I'm going to move on quickly. A cleansing that is demanded. If you're to have fellowship with Him and be in fellowship with Him, you must be cleansed of your sin. The Bible says in 1 John 1:6, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. If you claim to be in fellowship with Jesus and have unconfessed sin in your life, then you're lying to God and you're lying to yourself. I have to have my feet washed in order to have fellowship with Jesus. I can't be in fellowship with Jesus and have dirty feet. As Jesus told Peter, if you don't get your feet washed, you can't have fellowship with me. It's a cleansing that is demanded. Let me give you a second thought, though. A cleansing that is daily. Now, most people take a bath every day, right? Now, I know a few of you can give examples of people who don't, and I can too. But most people take a bath every day. I read in preparation for this sermon, I read across this thing that said, redneck hygiene. This is funny. Unlike clothes, a toothbrush should never be a hand-me-down item. Right? If you have to vacuum the bed, it's time to change the sheets. Amen? A couple of y'all just now starting to get some of these jokes. I mean, that's fun. You're laughing at the one from the introduction. I'm not now. While ears need to be cleaned regularly, that this is a job that should be done in your own private, done in private using one's own truck keys. I met a few folks who practice redneck hygiene. I did find something interesting when you begin to read about the medieval classes and the lack of need to bathe was considered a sign of wealth and leisure. Many aristocrats bragged on never having taken a bath. It was because of them the demand for perfume and aromatic oils was very high, and the need for spices helped spur the explorations of the 15th century. It's interesting. Leading to the discovery of America. I guess that's one reason we can be thankful folks didn't take baths. It's reported that Queen Elizabeth of England reported bathed once a month whether she needed it or not. Now most people take a bath every day. But spiritually we need one every day, I can assure you as well. Due to the dusty roads, the washing of the feet was a daily need as well as something that needed to be done several times during the day. I don't need to be saved again, but I do need to confess my sins and be cleansed of my sins if I'm to have fellowship with Jesus. Listen to what John said. And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He appears, we have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. The word abide there literally means to be in unbroken fellowship with the Lord, to live in daily fellowship with Jesus. I must wash my feet daily. Not literally. That too, but I guess but figuratively. The blessing of fellowship with Jesus, the basis of fellowship with Jesus. And this third point is going to be short, so just listen very quickly. The breaking of fellowship with Jesus. Since we know that sin prevents us from having fellowship with Jesus, the greatest thief in the world is sin. Sin robs us of the blessing of being in fellowship with Jesus and having fellowship with Jesus. Sin robs us of being used of God and enjoying these special moments we've talked about with Jesus. Consider with me, first of all, the confession of sin. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins,
He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Ladies and gentlemen, the fact is that all of our feet get dirty, so we need to confess and acknowledge our sins, not necessarily to me, but to Him. It is to admit to God that we've sinned and ask forgiveness for that. God, I'm sorry. I blew it today. The confession of sin, but I see secondly he speaks of the cleansing of sin. John told us here in the text, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let me put it this way. If we confess our sins, He will then wash our feet. He will bring us back to a place where we can once again be in fellowship with Jesus. John B. Goh, the great temperance orator, died while delivering one of his famous lectures. His last sentence was this: young men, keep your record clean. Let me close this way, and I'm closing. One of my favorite television shows is Andy Griffith. I have several favorite old shows. Elizabeth doesn't like any of the old shows. She's just crazy. But anyway, I mean, she don't like Sanford and Son, Dukes of Hazzard, Andy Griffith. She don't know that stuff. I could watch every episode over and over and over again. They're funny. Now, Barney was one of my favorite characters on the show. And the show was really never the same after Barney left the show. There was one phrase that Barney used to Andy every time Opie began to do something that he thought needed changing, and that was what? Nip it. Nip it in the bud. And nip it, nip it, nip it. You remember that? There's one time Barney got a motorcycle. Y'all remember the episode when he got a motorcycle? And Andy didn't want him to get the motorcycle, but he got it anyway. And he purchased it from Army Surplus. And he began to ride around Mayberry, disturbing the peace of the town. Andy finally returned the cycle with Barney's blessing by pretending that the cycle was of historical significance and should be put on the public display. You remember that? But Barney wanted that truck so he could catch the truckers who were speeding down the hill just outside of town. Andy reminded him, he said, we always give the truckers 5 miles over the speed limit so they could make it up the next steep hill. Barney's reply was this: if you give them 5, they'll take 10. If you give them 10, they'll take 20. If you give them 20, they'll take 30. We've got to nip this in the bud. Nip it in the bud. When it comes to sin, we've got to nip it. Nip it in the bud. You see, because it breaks our fellowship with Jesus. And there's nothing any more sweeter than sweet communion with Jesus. I ask you this morning, again, are your feet dirty? If they are, they need cleansing. And I know the one who can do it. And His name is Jesus. Let's stand.